Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Genesis chapter 25 is an interesting chapter because it is literally the moment when Abraham dies. And the epic story of this man that we've been following from Genesis chapter 11 finally ends, the longest chapter of one man's story in Scripture, finally ends in this chapter. Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 and 2, Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. And we, as you know, in previous chapters, we looked at the death of Sarah and the burial of Sarah, and now he's marrying again, I think at about 150 years old. How many of you want to get married when you're 150 years old? All over again. And this is the faith of this man, that he can still move forward in God. And we all know that Sarah couldn't bear children, but we know that Abraham could bear one. But we didn't know that he was capable of a lot. And she bore him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak, Shua. And there was all of these children. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan and the sons of Dedan and Ashurim, Lethusim and Leumim. And the sons of Midian were Epher, Hanok, and Adad, all of these. They were all children of this one woman. In other words, he is prolific. There's something in Abraham that is naturally prolific. And yet that was not God's intent. God's intent was to be through Sarah. And despite her barrenness, God chose her, and that's it. And the Bible says in verse 5, Abraham gave all, not to those children, but to Isaac. There was something that Abraham understood about God, that God had a destiny and a purpose. And that whatever traditions there may be, whatever what people may say, he will do what God's wishes are. And that's what he did. Not leaving behind all of these children. How many of you know if you have all these children and you give everything to one son, all of those guys want to kill that one son? And he's smarter than that. Way smarter. In fact, not just smart, he's wise. And verse 6 says, But the sons of his concubines, by the way, just to be clear here, he only had two concubines, Keturah, and we know the other one was Hagar. And so we know from this verse that he didn't just do this to these children. He did this even to the children of Hagar. Abraham gave gifts. And because he was a wealthy man, he lavishly blessed them. And he did it while he was still living. And then he sent them away from Isaac, eastward to the east. In other words, he blessed them, at least materially, knowing that the spiritual component of his destiny was going to be through his other son. The point of this message this morning is, what can you do while you're still living? In fact, the better question is, what should you do while you're still living? And sometimes what we do is we try to make things happen when time's running out. And by the way, I don't know how old you are, but regardless of how old you are, you will get to this age. Amen? And the more, as I got older and I tried to delay this, I'm turning 63 next year. I just know there's no way to delay it. And there are certain things I have to do or can do only because I'm still breathing. The time will come that will end, and that will no longer be possible. I like this meme of this couple, this elderly couple who said, "We've got a career, check. We've got cash, check, because we have a career, we've got cash. We've got credit card, now we've got credit, and so we can buy a car, and now we can buy a condo, and now they've gotten rich, and now we can join the country club. Hallelujah, honey, we made it. Now we can have a baby, amen?" It's funny how we do life, where we live for things. There are certain things that you're not going to be able to do if you don't maximize. The Bible says, redeem the time. You have to redeem it. Because time is one of those things that don't stop for you. They keep moving. And you need to know how to ride that time while you're still living. And verse 6 says, Abraham did that. He gave gifts while he was still living, and he sent them away from Isaac. He gave them instructions. Here's what you need to do. You don't want to give instructions when you're dead, because you can't. And while you're living, you want to do that. You want to instruct people because there is a timetable to life. There are certain things that are not going to be available to you over time. Certain opportunities that are available to you right now that won't be there years from now. Children that you have access to right now, the day will come, they don't want to be with you. My kids, as much as they respect me, most of the time when I start calling them, I can feel that I am already a bother to some of them. And thank God I had the smarts to do that while I was still living with them. Instruct. There's certain instructions. Instruction is different. There's a level of instruction that you can do to your children. Now that they're adults, I can't instruct them. I can only inspire and influence them. When they were little, I can instruct them. You need to do it this way. You need to come home at this time. You need to eat this. There's a certain thing that you instruct people about. Because instruction is rather external. It's something that has to be imposed upon certain people, because you know that if you didn't impose them, no amount of inspiration or influence will make them live that way. It demands instruction. Fathers do that. Mothers do that. You instruct people. You have to tell them, here's what you want. Governors have to do that in order to create order. I love the story of Heinz ketchup. Best-selling ketchup in the universe. Amen? I don't know what your ketchup is, but this is the best-selling ketchup in the world. 650 million bottles are sold of this thing every year. Imagine 650 million bottles of ketchup. 2 million tons of ketchup or tomatoes are necessary. 2 million tons of high-quality tomatoes are necessary to produce 650 million bottles of ketchup. And the story began with a 25-year-old man. His name was Henry John Heinz, and Heinz was a Christian. He was a man of faith. A very staunch man of faith. In fact, if you Google him and read about him, it's fascinating, the history of this young man and the story of a man. He was an immigrant. He was like the people who live in this nation, or some of us who come here or live here. When he visited England as a tourist, his tourist stops included the graves of, stops rather, religious leaders like John Bunyan, and I don't know what this got to do with spirituality, but this is what I got from his Wikipedia page. He visited a chapel that Wesley founded, later writing that it felt like I was upon holy ground. I'm not sure if I agree with that completely. What I do agree with was at the beginning of his will, he wrote, "I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will what is most important item in it, of a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior." He was a believer. What was interesting about his story is that, plus this, under his tutelage, the company was noted for its fair treatment of workers or for pioneering safe and sanitary food protection. Some of the practices of the current day U.S. Food and Drug Authority came from the instructions, the tutelage of this man. He didn't suggest it. He didn't inform them. He didn't influence them. He didn't inspire them. He tutored them. You got to do it this way. Pioneering the safe and sanitary idea of food proper, because what happened was, because Heinz ketchup was so popular, dozens of copycats came and started killing and poisoning people. Instruction. He provided his employees with free medical care, recreation facilities such as gyms, swimming pools, and gardens. How would you like to have a boss like this? And educational opportunities such as libraries, free concerts, and lectures. More importantly, he led a successful lobbying effort in the Pure Food Drug Act in 1906. And during World War I, he worked very closely in establishing the fundamentals of the Food and Drug Administration. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." When you listen to advice and listen to instruction, you will gain wisdom in the future. Consequently, those who give that while they're still living, those who have moved ahead, the idea is not for you to be the hero of the story. The idea is for you to be the guide in the story, the Yoda who makes Luke Skywalker the hero. Too many people all want to be celebrities. That was never the idea. The idea is live a right life and instruct others to do the same. So what should you be doing while you're still living? Apart from instructing people, you need to be inspiring people. Instruction is one thing, inspiration is another. Genesis 5, verse 7 says, the days of Abraham were life 175 years, and then it ended. This is the moment where he dies. And it says that Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, and hopefully that's all of us, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. When you are gathered to your people, when you're dead, the things that you're going to be remembered, what you do while you're still living is what will be you will be remembered for. It's not, you're not going to be remembered because you're now in a casket. You're going to be remembered because of the things that you did before you died. In other words, there's the inspiration of it. And what's interesting about this man is the level of inspiration is now 6,000 years old. This man's life, because of the way he lived in God, following God, as we've studied his life, 6,000 years later, his life is still inspiring us. What do we remember him for? A friend of God. What do we remember him for? The father of the faith. What does he inspire us for? Keep the covenant with God. What does he inspire us for? Worship God, which is what we did this morning. What do we know about him? He's a hero of the Bible. There are certain things that inspire us because of the life he lived. You can't do that when you're dead. You do that while you're living. You inspire people. You inspire, he's probably saying, Pastor, I'm not like you. I don't preach to people. Well, you can inspire your own children. You can inspire your workmates. You can inspire your churchmates. You can inspire people. The word inspire is interesting because today it only means inspire. In the old days, it means in spirit. In spirit, there's something inside of you in spirit that comes out, and hopefully that spirit is the spirit of God, because you could have the spirit of the devil, amen? And that's what inspire, because you can inspire people for good and for bad. Today is my grandson Elijah's birthday. He's huge. He's 2 years old. His mom's British, so he's half British. So he's fat, he's heavy, he's chunky, he's just big. And during his birthday, the children, because we weren't there, they celebrated in a week, and I guess not everybody's available the same day. And so this moment, I'm going to show you a video of him trying to blow his candle, and he's struggling to put it off. And so he's calling his cousin, Philip, and please help me blow this thing out. He didn't make it, amen? The next video is his cousin explaining to everybody why he won't do it. And then eventually, the father of Elijah tells him, instructs him, go help him. I'm sure now that video, they say don't brag about your kids, but you can't brag about your grandchildren, amen? I'm showing that video because we weren't there. We couldn't make it. We were just tied up. And yet, the celebration continued because of the inspiration of this woman. My wife does not talk in public like me. Sometimes we think the only people who can inspire and influence are the talkers and the guys that stand in a platform. My wife does it because she's unselfish. My wife inspires people because when she's home, she calls everybody up. When she's here, she calls everybody up. When she's a very kind, she's got empathy. When someone's sick, she feels it. And believe it or not, that's inspirational. In fact, that's powerful inspiration. Always cheerful, always happy, even when she's not feeling well. Don't make the mistake of thinking inspiration is only for the good talkers. You're going to make a big mistake. You are well capable of inspiring people in God's spirit. Everybody say, God's spirit is in you. You are a guide to many other people. And don't forget that. What should you do while you're still living? You just not inspire, you influence. Now, there's a difference. Motivation is when you press people to do it. Instruct is when you tell people you should do this. Inspire is when you have a certain spirit. Influence is different. Influence is you may not actually know you're doing it. For instance, when you yawn, you don't realize you are influencing people. How many of you know, some of you are actually yawning right now, just looking at this picture. For instance, you go to the gym and you're sluggish and you don't want to work out and you find someone beating those barbells and running the treadmill. There's something there that influences you to give it your best today, and he didn't even know he was doing that to you. That goes for bad habits too. And you pass it unknowingly that you're transferring and inspiring and not inspiring but influencing. An influencer is not a thermometer. He's a thermostat. She's a thermostat. She sets the conditions. She allows the condition to change by nature of who he or she is. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, wherever you're going, you can always be an influence. This is where I have lunch most of the time, near the church. It's a Korean restaurant, and this is typically, as you can tell, I wear the same clothes. I eat the same food. Amen? This is typically my lunch three times a week. It's saba fish and chicken. Then I get that green tea with no sugar in it, and I'll eat it. And I've engaged the people serving there because I watch them. This is one of the busiest restaurants in the mall and in and out. And I watch this, particularly the girl on the right. And every time I order in the past, I would get her, and she would give me a cup with literally, you can count the number of pieces of ice. It's like she, every time she scoops it, it's the exact 5 pieces. Now, if you know anything about me, I like ice. And so I told her, so one day I just started befriending her. I said, you know what, let me hypnotize you. And she says, what? I'm a hypnotizing expert. And she's looking at me like this, right? Let me hypnotize you and say, give me more ice. Right? And so she gets some ice and asks, let me add more. And so she gets the ice and she's added the ice. And the next time I come, I said, you know what, this kimchi you're giving me about 4 or 5 shreds and it's always exact. Let me hypnotize you again. And so now my kimchi and my anchovies are actually a lot more than everybody else's. I have power over this girl. So every time I come, I take a picture of her, and now I'm hypnotizing her friend. Because there's things I will never be able to do unless I'm different. Everybody else doesn't care about these people. They just want to, where's my change? Hey, hurry up, why is it so late? I'm trying to influence these people, say, you can have a great day. I'm gonna eat anyway. Why can't I just make her happy for a minute? Now, yesterday, I was attempting to hypnotize and say, give me free food. This is how she reacted, amen? She said, no free food for you. But what can you do while you're still living? What can you do? You can instruct, you can inspire, you can influence. That's what Abraham did. You can leave an inheritance. Because of your instructions, because of your inspiration, because of your influence, you leave a heritage for people, not a memorial about you. That's sick. It's not about you. It's about people. People who have a God in them. I love yesterday's volunteer of our kids' church. If you come here every Sunday, you don't realize there's a bunch of people that serve Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I love it because you know what? They're leaving an inheritance. And I assured them, it's not your job to make these kids perfect. If any parent comes to you and says, my kids are not behaving because of you, they are crazy. Amen? If they're going to spend 1 hour with us and they think their lives are going to change, they don't know what they're thinking of. Your job is to inspire these children, to influence these children, to instruct these children in the Lord so that they will have an inheritance in God. That's pretty much what happened to Abraham. Ishmael and Isaac and their sons buried because of his instruction, because of his inspiration, because of his influence. there was peace rather than war, at least in their generation. Verse 11 says, after the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac. And later we're going to see he also blessed Ishmael. There was not just peace, there was prosperity. We think that these things are just going to happen hapchance or overnight and not realizing that's not the way this works. Good things take time. And there is a limit to that time. Verse 12, these are the generations of Ishmael. Now, he's talking about the generations of Ishmael. This is not just peace and prosperity. This is posterity. What that simply means is continuity. That the blessing of God does not stop one generation. It was interesting about the Hind story. If you read it, it went from one generation to about four or five generations. It just wouldn't stop. Because there was the right instruction. There was the right level of inspiration. There was the influence. And therefore, there's an inheritance. Not just of money and wealth. Of peace, of prosperity, of posterity. Verse 13, these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, named in order of their birth. And it shows you that he was had posterity. And notice where it says the sons of Ishmael, as these are their names, they became princes. There was prosperity as well. What's interesting here is the very mistake of Abraham became a place of peace, of prosperity, and posterity. Because he did the right thing while he was still living. Verse 17, these are the years of Ishmael. 137 years, he breathed his last. He just lived pretty much his destiny because of his father. Who left the right instructions, who inspired a way of living, who influenced everyone around him, and thus left an inheritance for them to enjoy. This is my destiny, your destiny, the destiny of everyone who believes in Christ. But we have to do it while we're still living. And that time is moving, amen? I don't mean to condemn. I don't mean to accuse you. I'm instructing you, amen? I'm instructing you to rise up and do something and begin to pray and ask God and meditate on His Word and proclaim that life in your life and the life of others. Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your people here. Lord, we just thank you for that your word is so amazing. Can you look up here for a minute? I was reading this last night. I've just been one busy week for me. I've been gone for a week and just had visitors. And I was reading this, and at some moments I was just crying, not because of this. Some of this I actually do. I was crying because of the power of God's word. The Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is beautiful. The Word of God is the authority for our lives. When we live according to the Word of God, we will be blessed. Amen? Everybody say, we will be blessed. Not by our abilities, but because He's good. Amen? Close your eyes. Lace up your hands towards heaven. God, we love you. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify you with our lives. Teach us to be a people who instruct, who inspire, who influence, and who leave a footprint, an inheritance on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.